Thanks for streaming GPB. Your contribution at gpb.org supports the listening you enjoy each day. We hope you'll consider GPB in your plans during this season of giving. Happy holidays and thanks for a fantastic year.
Coming up in this episode...
People telling me, you know, while I was writing this book, like, this is what you are. You might not think that you are this, but...
You know, there's so many aspects of the Gullah Geechee culture. It doesn't just specifically focus on one thing. So how does it sort of encompass everything?
I've all had friends who have done or said things that have crossed the line for us that made us want to pull away.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. All right, Peter, I understand you've been reading something related to the Georgia coast lately.
Yes, I have. And it's a book about the Geechee Coast.
Gullah Geechee Coast.
Yeah, and for people who are unaware, if you've never heard those words before, Gullah Geechee people are descendants of Africans who were brought to America through the slave trade. They came from a variety of places in Africa, though many came from West Africa. And the Gullah Geechee Corridor stretches from the Cape Fear region of southeastern North Carolina through Georgia to Florida. Gullah is more of a reference to the Carolinas, and Geechee refers to Georgia and Florida.
Saltwater Geechee, they say. Saltwater Geechees.
Saltwater Geechee, yes. Saplo Island, a big part of that, of course. Mm-hmm. You spent a lot of time in Savannah, not too far from Saplo.
Many times. A fabulous culture and food, and it's just wonderful. And it's a history, too. So is this a history book?
Not strictly, no. It does have some history in it. I should say it's a memoir and essays by journalist Nisha Powell Ngabire, who lives in Atlanta now. And the title is a phrase translated from the Gullah Geechee language. You know the word kumbaya?
Of course.
Yeah, that's a word that, for me, it conjured like, you know, a bunch of white hippies, frankly, sitting around a campfire, right? But it's a Gullah Geechee word, and it means come by here.
Kumbaya, my lord, come by here.
Come by here, and... that's the title of this book, Come By Here, a memoir in essays from Georgia's Geechee Coast.
So is it a memoir about how she feels having Geechee heritage, or what exactly is she remembering?
It's partly about that, for sure. It's an exploration of Geechee heritage and learning to embrace it. And the exploration is quite literal here. I mean, she does explore places like Saplo Island and the Geechee culture that exists there today. She talks to people who are knowledgeable about it. She takes a tour, a guided tour of it, all while thinking about how it was present but not in the foreground when she was a kid in the 90s. Her family's lived on the Geechee Coast for hundreds of years.
People telling me, you know, while I was writing this book, like, this is what you are. You might not think that you are this, but this is what you are. And so I think of myself as, I would say, I descend from Gullah Geechee folks. I don't want to claim to be an authority, and I'm still very much learning what that means.
And in this book, that means exploring, for example, Gullah Geechee reliance on fishing, the health of the water, the importance of basket weaving, of song, things like that.
Sort of where is the book centered? Savannah, Saplo, St. Simons, all over?
It's kind of all over. The thing about this book is that it's a memoir and essays and not necessarily a linear narrative. So there's some time spent in Brunswick, for example, and there's time, you know, like we mentioned, that trip to Saplo Island that's recounted here. There's a trip to the Okefenokee Swamp. So it's all over.
And is it about the culture fading?
Yeah, I mean, she writes a bit about the housing situation on Saplo Island as an example of that, which, if you're in Georgia, you've been paying attention to Georgia news, you might have heard about this recent zoning change on Saplo Island that would essentially allow bigger houses to be built, which would raise property values, hike up taxes, and price out long-term residents, which happens to various extents in touristy places throughout the country. But here, it's going to, in particular, push out people with Geechee ancestry who have been on the island for generations.
Now, there's so many aspects of the Gullah Geechee culture. It doesn't just specifically focus on one thing. So how does it sort of encompass everything?
I mean, I think Powell Ngabire would say she's not trying to incorporate everything. She's, I think, one of the strengths of the book is that it focuses on these elements of the culture that really expand to the universal, like focusing on food, for example, or focusing on the basket weaving that I mentioned. You know, focusing on these one thing, on those things, and then expanding, I think, is really a good way into the culture. But by no means is this like a comprehensive view. Like, you're not going to pick up this book and say, I'm going to use this to figure out what Gullah Geechee culture is, although it is part of it. Part of it also is just a memoir of her experience growing up in a place that has racist tension, to put it mildly. I mean, one of the things she writes about, and one of the things that the blurb of this book pushes, is that she was classmates with Travis McMichael, who was one of the three white men to chase down and kill Ahmaud Arbery in 2020. Travis and two other men were convicted in his murder, and she was there years ago in class with him.
What do we learn about him in this memoir?
She doesn't write too much about Travis McMichael. They didn't have much interaction. They weren't friends. Here's how she writes about Travis McMichael in the book, and I'm going to quote here. He was one of the kids who didn't think twice about wearing clothes and driving a pickup truck adorned by the Confederate flag. He was the kind of kid my friends and I steered clear of because we knew he didn't like our kind. So that was from the essay called The Power of Hate, which was not just about Travis McMichael. It was about, you know, the aftermath of 9/11 and just about racism in general in the United States and on the Georgia coast in particular. And that was my impression when I read the book. And I asked her about that and about how Ahmaud Arbery and writing about Ahmaud Arbery fits into that.
Reflecting on what happened to Ahmaud is always painful, always surreal, because you just never imagine that something like that will hit so close to home. I think it's important to speak his name. It's not going to bring him back, but it's important to speak his name. And from reading this book, you know, maybe folks will understand kind of like the environment, the climate that we both came up in and how something so horrendous could happen.
She also has another powerful essay in this book called The Confederate Son, which is about being friends with the boy she calls Matt. And Matt in the story would say racist things, and his parents had a Confederate flag hanging prominently on his property. And people nowadays still use the heritage, not hate line when defending the use of the Confederate flag. But that is not as much tolerated now. People call it out for the nonsense that it is. But back then, more than 20 years ago, you can imagine how powerless a young black girl would feel to say something about how offensive that is to her white friend or her white friend's parents. And so, unsurprisingly, that friendship ends. And it is a sad thing because there were things that these friends liked about each other. But this was a bridge too far.
What about her family? Typically, these type of memoirs involve parents, grandparents. What do we learn about her heritage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she does write about her mother, who was a big presence in her life, and her father, who was not a big presence. He was absent for most of her life. And in writing about both, she says she was trying to be true to the complexity of who they were. And I think that she was successful in that attempt. Her mother wasn't always kind, seems kind of judgmental at times, really has strong feelings about what kind of kids she should be friends with. And she was also under a lot of stress, but you can kind of see why she would feel that way. She's a single mom.
We had and have a lot of differences, but she has always encouraged my creativity. And I have always been, you know, well taken care of. She was a single mom. She had a lot going on. You know, she would be working like two jobs at a time, single mom to four kids. So I salute her.
And as for her dad, he had some mental health challenges. And as you slowly realize, like, that was a big part of his issue, like, you get a sense of what he might have been going through. And that kind of fills in a lot of blank space about why he was absent for so much of her life. And in a few of these essays, Powell Ngabire remarks on having her own mental health crises. So there is some level of empathy that she has for her father on that front.
All right. So I'm getting the picture that this is a book of personal essays, so a lot of personal stories, but it kind of weaves in a larger cultural narrative. So what gives this book the narrative edge? I assume that's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this book is strongest when it's talking about those personal experiences. The essay about her white friend, Matt, for example, That one was probably the strongest one for me for a couple of reasons. One, it's relatable. I think I've all had friends who have done or said things that have crossed the line for us that made us want to pull away, even if there are parts of those friends that we really did like. The second thing was that it was about a human relationship. The focus was narrow. It captured the universal. And whenever she did that in an essay, whenever the frame was there for that, the essay was strong. I think other readers may like the more lyrical essays that are short and almost like prose poems in a way. Exploring Sapelo through her essay was great. The Okefenokee essay was really cool. It wasn't all just about Okefenokee, but that was a cool essay. And the essays about her parents and her grandmother, about Ahmaud Arbery, her experience with racism, all of that was great. I think one thing that makes this book difficult to describe is that, you know, it's called a memoir and essay. That's a genre. What bothers me about that moniker, broadly speaking, is that some of these essays kind of repeat things and they're not chronological. And repeating, for example, in various essays, the distinction between Gullah and Geechee, like these essays were published in various places. They expected to have different audiences. But here we are in the same book. I always wish the editor, and this is not Powell and Gabre's fault, I always wish the editor had sort of looked at the book as a whole book that you would read from beginning to end and not pick through. I don't know, maybe you read collections of essays differently.
I read it differently. Like, yeah. I would read one essay, put the book down for a week, come back a month later or days later. So I don't know if that part would particularly bother me. And especially coming from my perspective, I used to write a weekly newspaper column. Sometimes you do repeat things in columns.
Yeah, I totally could see that, in which case, just call it a collection of essays and leave it at that, as opposed to a memoir. But, you know, I'm really nitpicking here. Like, that's a minor thing, and it really probably isn't even her deal. Like, that's an editor thing. So I did ask Nisha Powell and Gabre if she had any Gullah Geechee books that she would want to endorse, things that people should read if they want to learn a little more about Gullah Geechee culture. And she wrote a whole chapter about Cornelia Walker Bailey, who was an important figure on Sapelo Island.
She was the griot of the island, the storyteller, the one who kept all the stories. And she was just such a huge ambassador and advocate for Sapelo Island. She wrote a book in 2000 called God, Dr. Buzzard, and the Bolito Man. A saltwater Geechee talks about life on Sapelo Island. And that is a very important text because she is talking about her life growing up in Sapelo.
So you're nodding your head when she's mentioning that book, Orlando. So you know it?
Have you
read this book?
I interviewed Cornelia Walker Bailey.
Oh, no kidding.
I think she died a few years
ago. Yeah, she passed away. So when did you interview her?
Oh, this must have been in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Wow.
I did a series of stories about Georgia's barrier islands, and she was one of the people that I interviewed. And I might have interviewed her later as well, back when I was in Savannah.
What do you remember about that interview with Cornelia Walker Bailey?
I remember sitting on her porch.
Oh, it was on her porch on Sapelo?
Yes, it was on Sapelo.
Oh, man, what an experience.
Yeah, you really have to go to Sapelo to experience it. I think that's one way you learn about Sapelo, really.
Nisha Powell and Gabre also recommended Matthew Rayford, who calls himself a chef farmer. That's a combination of chef and farmer, chef farmer. He wrote a cookbook called Bressignam, which has Gullah Geechee recipes in it, as well as his family story. So worth mentioning that Come By Here is one of many books that people who are of that culture, writing about that culture, definitely worth checking out.
All right, the book is Come By Here, a memoir in essays from Georgia's Geechee Coast by Nisha Powell Ingabire. Thanks for pointing it out to me.
Happy to.
Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB News podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.
Thanks for streaming GPB. Your contribution at gpb.org supports the listening you enjoy each day. We hope you'll consider GPB in your plans during this season of giving. Happy holidays and thanks for a fantastic year.